If you're like me, getting back in shape is always a goal, but that's what it remains, a goal. That's why I'm excited about our new advertiser, FitBod. FitBod is a fitness app that tailors workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule. It's like having a personal trainer in your pocket. Whether you're a gym rat or just trying to get back in the groove like me, FitBod evolves with you, tweaking routines to push your limits and maximize your gains. And FitBod keeps things fun, mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. It's like a new challenge every time you work out. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join FitBod today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription by trying the app for free at fitbod.me/Zabe. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's fitbod.me/Zabe.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It's summertime, and at MyBookie, that can only mean one thing. It is winning season. Winning season means doubling your first deposit. Winning season means free bets, super contests, Survivor, and more. And at MyBookie, winning season's all about your chance to win big. Bet NBA playoffs, NHL, Major League Baseball, UFC, golf, and then some. The craziest sports summer we've ever had. It's simple. Make your picks, win big, collect your cash. Invest in your sports intuition, people. Select from hundreds of futures bets. You can bet games in real time with MyBookie's live betting. Put that big old brain of yours to good use and use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and double your first deposit. New players get up to $1,000 in free play, designed to add more excitement to the sports you love and the games that you bet. Thousands of cross-sport wagers, props, and parlays await. Sign up now and bet with the best and celebrate your victory. Your winning season begins today only at MyBookie. Today on the ZabeCast, it's getting down to crunch time with college football. A go-no-go decision is hanging in the balance. Glenn Eunice joins me. We talk everything from strip club wings to new houses that don't even come with a trash can. All that plus, I'm going to get started with a new Redskins name already, if that's okay with you. Your daily Kickstarter of Uncensored Me is locked and loaded, so buckle up and let's go!
Here we go!
Thursday, August 6th, 2020. Thank you for joining me. Economics doesn't care. It's like Tommy Lee Jones in the movie The Fugitive, where he corners Dr. Richard Kimball at the mouth of a drain pipe that tumbles out 100 feet down to a pool of water, and he's got to decide, do I jump or what do I do? And Dr. Kimball, the fugitive, says, I didn't kill my wife. And Tommy Lee Jones says, without even blinking, I don't care. He had a job to do and one job to do only. And so whether or not he was guilty was irrelevant to him. Economics doesn't care about you wanting to keep little Johnny safe from the COVID. And when shit gets disrupted, economic reality doesn't care why. You can only paper over it. You can only spend your way out of it for so long. Eventually, it all catches up. I'm fascinated, and I try not to get too freaked out, but I'm fascinated by the things that are going to come in the wake of this pandemic disruption. I've been reading stories about how commercial real estate, oh boy, buckle up. Many companies, after telling their workers, you know, you can dial in internet-wise, work from home, and finding out, hey, you know, the Samuelson project got finished. This thing got fine. We're working with groups. We got Zoom. Why do we need an office? I've heard multiple anecdotes and also actual stories about companies. They're like, yeah, you know what? We're going to sell our office space. We don't need it. Boom. Work from home. Travel budgets are going to get slashed. Commuting patterns are going to be altered. And there's going to be some winners and some losers. The winners are those who can work from their cushy jobs in their pajamas now and don't have to commute. The losers might be that gas station you went to every morning to get your coffee and a donut. Anyway, one of the losers apparently, at least, and this was interesting, I didn't think of it, but it makes sense, Big Crayon. Oh boy, Big Crayon is not happy. Sales of back-to-school items have taken a predictable nosedive this summer. Normally, the peak is late July, early August. Mom goes out scurrying around, gets the Trapper Keeper for Junior and the Dukes of Hazzard lunchbox and the 64 Crayola crayons. This year, not nearly so much. Maybe a little bit of stuff, but hey, if Junior ain't going to school, he sure as hell doesn't need that protractor. We got one in a drawer somewhere, don't we? Drawer in the house somewhere, don't we? Clothes are being affected, back to school clothes. But yeah, Big Crayon, boy. How are they going to make up those crayon sales in this pandemic? They aren't. It's going to be a bitch. And I was reading a story about how Disney is hoping for and counting on and praying that college football gets up and plays because ESPN, part of Disney, owns the entire bowl ecosystem and the college football playoff, and they need college football to stand and deliver for them because look at what else Disney does. Theme parks took a kick right to the balls, just now staggering to their feet at a fraction of their capacity. Movies kicked to the balls. Nothing's coming out. Everything is on hold. Hell, Mulan, their big summer movie, was just announced. It's going out on Disney Plus. Or I think it's not Disney Plus. I think it's going to be sold. Digital download for $30. Oh, my fucking God. So think about if college football doesn't stand up and deliver. Oh, Disney is hurting. We're all hurting, too. So let's knock on wood and hope that doesn't come to pass. In the meantime, if you feel bad for Big Crayon, if you're sorry for Crayola, go out and buy a 64-pack as an adult and just, you know, make some, draw some nice pictures in crayon. Go get your burnt sienna and your forest green and just look at the colors and go, ah, yes, I'm back in third grade already. All right, let's call my man Glenn Yunis, former Sirius XM radio host, now director of the Ed Reed Foundation.
The same cast.
Yeah, boy, Outcast. Hey, ya.
Hey, ya.
By the way, I never knew that this cat looked just like Robert Griffin III. Who is this? Like, who's the lead guy for Outcast? I'm so on.
It's Andre 3000 and Big Boy.
Ah, got it.
That's Andre 3000. Big Boy was the guy at the Super Bowl in Atlanta who you talked about before.
And how
you
come
I'm so white?
Okay, I'm horribly white.
So white.
Listen, I know this song. I just have never seen the video, and I couldn't put the face to it. He looks like he's a dead ringer for Robert, but with better teeth. Robert has worse teeth. That's it.
Same toothpick legs.
You think you got it? This is a banger of a song. I mean, this gets the kid on their feet. There's no question about that.
Gets the kids moving, doesn't it?
Gets the kids moving. Glenny boy, it's great to talk to you again. How you doing, bud? You hanging in there?
Awesome.
You hanging in there during this endless pandemic as we now tiptoe, Glenn. We tiptoe up to the football season like, shh. We're hunting rabbits. We're hunting football. Don't scare it. Like, everyone's like, don't fuck it up. The Broncos are walking through some stupid spritzer that supposedly kills coronavirus. I saw that. I said, get the fuck out of here with that. If that thing worked, we'd all walk under it and we'd be done with this shit.
It's so I'm halfway between you and like this thing doesn't exist. Everyone get out of my
No, it does exist. It's real. It can fucking kill you. But a lot of shit can kill you.
Oh, I know.
And we are guzzling economic ruin like it is kerosene as a nation.
What do you mean? We're like 2 points away from the high in February in the market, which is crazy.
Okay, that's okay. No, hold on a second. By the way, are we?
We are.
Okay.
The market went pan right today again.
Okay.
We're about.
Okay. Can you explain that? Can you
yes.
explain that? Go ahead. I'm all ears.
I'm a casual investor.
I know. You're not a financial moron. You have money in the market. You're a smart guy. You're a savvy guy. What do you make of it?
So we're falsely inflating things, and the market's looking 6 months ahead that hopefully we will be out. The market's always ahead of the thing. So when it crashed in early March when COVID hit, it's because they knew we were going to have a little dip. And then, of course, it's being inflated, supplemented, falsely inflated, some would say, by all the stimulus. I think the reason that it's continuing to go up as of late in the last week is because they know they're going to rule on a new stimulus package and continue to help folks out. The concern is somewhere between deflation and inflation. Inflation is obviously when your money gets less, buys less things. Deflation is when there's less money being spent and it really cripples the market. So, you know, experts are going back and forth like, are we about to be in an inflationary period? Are we about to be in a deflationary period? And right now we're sort of, you know, Uncle Sam's band-aiding everybody. I don't know. The market's not indicative to the unemployment rate or the numbers, but also an extra 600 bones a week plus the $400 a week you get for being unemployed, that's $4,000 a month tax-free. No Social Security, Medicare, Medicare
pretty,
coming out of that.
Pretty good.
That's good fucking money for a lot of people. I mean, you and I were, you know, we're on the breadline still at that. But like regular people, that's good cash.
Yeah.
And so it does disincentivize some people to go back to work. I have, you know, friends that own restaurant chains in multiple locations. And they're like, dude, I can't get my guys to come back because they're making $4,000 a month on the street. And if they would make $4,000 or $5,000 with me, depending on a good week, they know we're not having good weeks because we're at 50% capacity. So I totally know what you're saying. Then there's, you know, Howard Stern, who we all love, who's at like a 9 or a 10 on the scale. You're at a 1. He's on a 9 or a 10. And so, you know, I'm somewhere in between there, but I'm okay.
Yeah.
Financially, things are good. Mentally, things are good. My wife and I and the new baby, 15 months now and almost 16 months. We bought a new house.
Oh, nice.
We moved in last week. You know,
congratulations.
Standard, you know, colonial in the burbs, front yard, backyard.
The American dream. The American dream, Glenn. You're going to be making round trips to the Home Depot to buy shit.
Well, my wife's not sure she wants. So here we go. Good old boss lady Eunice, not sure she wants her man going to Home Depot in the COVID.
Is she a super Karen?
Not really. No. So I have to admit something to you. I played Caves 2 weeks ago.
Nice. Caves Valley Country Club. Or actually, it's called Golf Club. It's whatever.
Yeah, it's a golf club.
It's hosted a senior tour event, senior open,
I
believe.
They got the BMW coming up next year.
Yeah, I mean, it's a hell of a place.
PGA Tour
really
playoff.
Nice, sweet place up there near Baltimore. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. So my buddy who's a member, who's a client and a friend, he's like, doesn't your wife go to work every day now? I'm like, yeah, pretty much. He's like, isn't it kind of hard to quarantine when she goes into the office 5 days a week? And I'm like, yeah, it is. So we're stuck in that mode.
So she doesn't want you going to Home Depot, but she's going to work every day?
Yeah, correct.
Well, that's interesting. You don't seem to be frail of constitution, young Glenn.
No, I'm going tomorrow. I got to pick up a new truck. You know, they don't provide you a trash can in this fine, expensive Maryland suburb that I live in. A recycling bin, yes. By the way, you pay near whatever. You pay near 7 figures for a house. You think you could throw in a trash can?
No, gotta go get that yourself. Well, all right. Doesn't the trash service issue you a can that they want you to use?
They don't. So the neighbors, we've inquired with the neighbors. We've received, by the way, loaf of bread and a bag of salt, which apparently is a thing, a loaf of zucchini bread with walnuts. Don't know if you were allergic, which we're not, so we took it anyway. And then a giant, giant, amazing house-shaped cookie that's the size of like a plate and a half. The cookie went over better than all of them from the neighbors. So we've inquired three different times. They said, nope, BYO trash can.
Wow.
BYOTC.
Yeah. All right, so you got to go buy a trash can. Do you have a do you have a vehicle large enough to bring it home? Do you have a pickup truck to get
Dave,
a full-size trash can or what?
We're full-on yuppies. We have an Audi Q5 and an Audi Q7, so I can electronically roll the seats down in the Q7 and throw pretty much anything in there.
Okay, but a real
we're yuppie mode.
Okay, but a real garbage can for a, you know, professional
like a
trash
wheel
service.
Around, yeah.
That's
yeah,
a big
ounce, whatever.
That's a big square item. I don't know if that fits in a Q5 or a Q7.
The 5, no, but my 7 probably 50-50. We'll see. If not, I got to pay the $9 delivery fee.
You should do that anyway.
Yeah, I probably should do. But I want to go to the fucking hardware store and walk around and see,
because
I'm buying new toy. I'm putting new toilets in all the and all the bathrooms.
Oh, new shitters? What's wrong with the shitters? Hey,
no,
Clark!
I gotta send
Clark shitters full.
Clark, can I come in and use the bathroom?
Oh, by the way, you know, I'm now a little bit more on Instagram. You can hit me up at Zabe on Instagram. I'm trying to get my head around what it's for a middle-aged white dude who doesn't post duck lip selfies. But as I'm now more on Instagram, I've been fascinated that there is just endless ads for this thing.
Yeah.
Meaning, here's this thing that you need. It's a cable that coils and magnets. Here's this thing. It's a wallet that's got this. Here's this thing. Like, some of them are pretty cool.
There the other day.
Yeah, some of them are pretty cool. Others, I'm like, who needs something like that? But I guess that's where Instagram shines with little universal things they can offer you. Here's something I saw on Instagram. Speaking of, hey, Clark, shitter is full. It's called like Iconic Art with a K I K O N I C.
Yeah, you get the Monopoly guy and the money guy. Oh, yes.
There is like a neon Andy Warhol stylized canvas wall art of that scene of Clark Griswold's cousin Eddie emptying the RV shitter. I'm like, oh my God, that would be so great to have in my house. And then I'm like, but my wife
it's
would
a little
hate
WT.
It. But
it's
my
a little
wife
WT.
Would. Little white trashy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, there's other stuff. There was a cool picture. Okay, here we go.
It's the best as seen on TV ads you can find, basically.
Okay. There was another cool picture, and this was not like neon art, but it looked like a photograph of three vehicles in an empty garage. You ready?
Mm.
It's the Trans Am from Smokey and the Bandit. It was some other car, and then the car from Starsky and Hutch, the red car with the white stripe.
Was it Cannonball Run? Was the third one Cannonball Run?
Maybe. I don't know. But it was like three. No. The middle car was the Dukes of Hazzard car. It was
General Lee.
Yes, the General Lee, which I'm surprised it didn't take it out because it's racist.
Are they allowed?
I don't know. I don't know. But it was just three. It was just three cars in an empty garage. And for any dude, you look at it and go, yeah, those fucking cars right there. Starsky and Hutch, General Lee, and the fucking, you know, Cannonball Run car.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, back on
Instagram's
the trash can.
I'll tell
so,
you what.
All right.
Well,
so
hold on.
All right. How do we get here? Yeah.
For.
Okay.
I know I can steer us back on track here. But first, though, you will be very pleased if you get into a search tunnel of golf chicks on Instagram.
Yeah.
There's no lack of and start with, you know, Paige Spryniak and go into Blair O'Neill, who just had a baby. And
not
then
into
you'll
her.
Get into a.
Yeah.
Okay. That's
no,
cool.
But there's others.
Yeah, but
there's others
into, like,
that are
other
younger.
Girls that you've never heard of.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. And they all have, they have good looking swings. They have amazing asses. I mean, not that I respect their games, obviously. And I think a couple of them can break 80. So, ow, cheap shot. You can't break 80, you fucking hack. I know. By the way, I had a hole in one last weekend.
Did you really?
And hole in one, and I still shot 80. How bad is that? Yeah.
It's your arthritis. Can we blame it on your rheumatoid?
No, No, I was actually feeling pretty good. And I was actually two under with the ace through seven and managed to start giving it back left and right. Here, you have a stroke. You have a stroke. Here's two. Fuck. So anyway.
Just dealing them.
All right. Let's deal with
the. So the new trash can will fit in the vehicle. I'm putting in new toilets because I want to put in new toilets. The house was actually redone recently. It's just one of those things that at some
Why
point.
Why do you want new toilet? What's wrong with the toilets?
I don't know. Nothing. I'm just.
Have you load tested all of them? Okay,
of
good.
Course, yeah, and they all pass with flying colors.
Are you gonna replace them yourself?
No.
Oh, okay. No. You'll hire somebody for that. Okay.
Yes.
Right, just asking. Some people are pretty handy.
Someone who's from the southern part of America.
And this is redneck plumber. And this toilet swap out. Is your idea not Mrs. Wise?
Yeah, correct. Well, really? in the powder room, there's a pedestal sink and a nice elongated toilet, but it's oatmeal, and so the pedestal's going anyway because we want a little vanity, a small vanity, a nice one, delicate, and so I'm like, might as well put a new can in there also. Then in the baby's bathroom, our bathroom has been remodeled. It's full marble. It's fucking awesome. We're so happy. But the baby, the hall bath is the one bath that hasn't been remodeled. So ripping up the tile, ripping up the toilet, ripping up the vanity and doing all that. So that'll get done in short order.
Exciting times. Brand new house and you're already digging into it. Fantastic.
Well,
welcome.
And you know what the worst part is?
What?
The house that we were about to sell in a week, it settles in a week. We bought this new one without having to sell the other one. But we built that 4 years ago, brand new. But wifey wanted the bigger, newer house, so here we are.
Hey, man.
I mean, this is what you do.
Happy wife, happy life.
I don't know if that's true, actually. Yeah, so they say is right.
You know, your wife has access to download this. I can't
actually
geofence out your wife. I don't even know her name, so just be careful. Anything you say on this podcast, Glenn, can and will be used against you in a marital court of existence.
It's fine. I'll tell you this. She just turned 35. She's young. She's young lass.
How old are you?
She doesn't know how to do any 41.
Okay, good.
Yeah. She doesn't know how to use the remote control for the TV or the internet. For some reason, even though she's supposed to be prime ability, she doesn't know how to do any of that stuff. So I'm not concerned about her being able to listen to this. And quite frankly, I say worse to this to her face because I'm a jerk.
Okay. And with that, let's pivot. Pivot. All right, let's talk about athletes. I want you to tell me what you have learned over the years working with Ed Reed and just being around athletes at the highest level, what they eat. Because at my golf tournament in Wisconsin last week, I watched John Kuhn, former Packer, former Saint, two-time Super Bowl winning champ. Great dude, regular dude, fullback.
John Kuhn, who doesn't know how many times he's played Augusta, John Kuhn.
Yeah, you know that from listening. Yeah. Yes, thank you
I'm a P1, man.
I know you're a P1. And then Brian Butch, former Badger legend, who didn't quite make the NBA, had a hot cup of coffee and then bounced around Europe and internationally. Great dude. The two of them, after playing golf, said, we want to have an eat-off. And so they brought him a dozen soft tacos each from Taco Bell, and they just went to town.
And so
I got to thinking, man, what do athletes eat? And when they eat poorly, do they then get back on schedule eating well? How many athletes do you think skate through their playing years not really paying that much attention to diet?
More than you think. So, I mean, this is very much my world. I mean, I know, as you set it up, I mean, I know these guys intimately, live with their homes, go out to dinner with them after games. I mean, that's been my life the past, 15 years. And you'd be surprised at how many guys are Kwame Brown, eat like shit, Popeyes every day because they don't know any better and it just doesn't matter. It's why facilities specifically in the NFL have really gotten to like, yo, we need to change our fucking cafeteria because this is crazy. These guys come in and eat bullshit every fucking day. And we better provide them good food here to get them that base. So the answer is a lot more than you think, eat a lot of bullshit. And it's all chicken wings. It really is.
just like me. It's all chicken wings. Clinton Portis used to have McDonald's before every game. I remember seeing him, they did on ESPN. They're like, and now arriving in the stadium, here's Clinton Portis. He had a McDonald's cup in his hand. I'm like, what the fuck is he doing? It's game day. Chad Johnson. Rod Strickland was legendary, but Chad Johnson was another guy that, you know, you look at his body, you're like 0% body fat, totally elite athlete. Yep. McDonald's like it's nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. So then there's a guy like Ed who would eat so-so and is from New Orleans. And then a couple years in realized like, wait a minute, I need to fine tune, and got his body composition tested and found out what certain foods did to him. And he, you know, he would have a steak on Saturday night before the game and he'd be sluggish. He'd be like, what the fuck's going on? Mm. And then he realized, oh, I need to eat salmon. I need to eat whitefish. I need to eat this and that. So he would, you know, he knew what to eat on what days and how to eat. And he would be very, very refined, you know, where we'd go to Ruth's Chris after games, and that would be his time to, you know, eat pretty much whatever he wants, because it's Sunday. He just played the game. He burned off all the stuff. And whatever happens, he has Monday, Tuesday to sort of get it out of the system and get on that eating habit.
Right.
So guys eat a lot of bullshit that you couldn't believe a Ferrari would put in their tank, right? But they don't know any better. And then as they get older and more successful and get concerned about it, then they start turning up the volume. But you know what we've seen a lot is like Matt Burke and Joe Thomas, a lot of these
You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When they retire, they're like, dude, I've been beefcaking it for, you know, for years. And they lose like 85 pounds, a lot of fucking weight.
Oh, yeah.
85 pounds in like 3 months.
Yeah. That Joe Thomas, I think, is currently 185 or something crazy.
Yeah, I mean,
like that.
If we were 185, that'd be normal. But, you know, we're not.
That'd be a dream is what it would be.
I'm pushing I'm like 226 right now.
Is that good for you?
I'm 5'10". I don't think that's good.
You happy with that weight there, Glenn?
Let's drop that to 196 and I'd be pumped.
Okay. I'm looking at Joe Thomas now. You wouldn't recognize him from his playing days.
No.
It's unbelievable.
No.
So, all right. So when it comes to athletes and eating, how many athletes eat at strip clubs like old Lou
More
Williams?
Than you think. Okay. Let me tell you this.
First of all, have you had those particular wings in Atlanta that he went out for? Allegedly.
Maybe.
Okay.
But I've had dinner, sit down dinner, cloth napkin, lobster filet at strip clubs in Atlanta. They exist. Been there, done that. No doubt about it. 100% in the last 18 months, I've done that. Like in the last couple of years, like no doubt about it. Guaranteed. I've had a full cloth meal, fork and knife, sit down, full meal. Full meal, appetizer, dinner, dessert at a strip club in Atlanta in the last couple of years.
Okay, so how does that work then with
three
working,
different work, athletes?
Okay, how does that work then with strippers?
And I ran into CJ and JP Finley at that same exact
Hey, you're
place,
violating
allegedly.
You're violating bro code. How do
well,
you work in
out,
how do you work in dances? How do you work in lap dances when you're trying to crack into a lobster? I'm sorry,
so,
honey. Just a second.
I actually
no, please.
I
yeah, I can't.
Don't like
I know
strip clubs.
Okay, fine.
I actually don't love strip clubs because here's the deal, and I'm just going to be as honest as possible. When I see a naked woman, I want to have sex with them. I don't want to give them money. I want to have sex with them, but I can't have sex with them in the strip club because that's not me. So I don't really love the strip clubs because it's the big. I just don't understand having the absolute biggest dick tease of all time and then having to give them money too. It's like, I'm not sure I got anything out of this exchange. This doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
So I usually sit in an area where I can throw my go-to, to be honest with you, Zabe, is to sit in a corner where a limited amount of girls come to bother me, and I take $1 bills and crumble them up and throw them at them on the stage.
That's rude. You should not make the dancers have to uncrumple your crumpled up dollars. You should
but
not.
They need.
Do that.
I need the distance. I need the weight.
All right, but as far as so, when you heard the story about Lou Williams and the chicken wings,
been in that conversation where it's like, bro, let's just go run by there and get a bite to eat or have a cigar. I've been in that conversation.
Okay, not surprising.
Not surprising at all.
Okay.
But there's a deeper root to that. The surface conversation is, yo, let's go have a cigar. It's open. Let's go get some wings. It's open, right? But the real conversation is, let's go look at some titties. And because we're so insecure, we have to even trick ourselves to say we're going to have a cigar or going to get wings. You're going to the strip club because that's where you wanted to go. You're not going to get wings. Cut it out.
Right.
Like, you might go get wings there too, but that's not why you went.
Yeah, I hear you on that. And if you're an athlete, you're like, why do I have to go to this place when I should be able to pull any woman I want because I'm a pro
athlete
who's rich and handsome with a great body and, you know, whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah, but you know what? Let's say there was a law somehow that prohibited.
I love when you're little. All right. Special jail, by the way, you should patent that.
Special jail? 2 months.
It's two months
of jail, and you can basically not beat the rap at all. You're going. You're going for 2 months for doing something dumb.
I love it.
Okay.
It's the best thing you have. All right, so go ahead.
All right, so what if there is a law that prohibited professional athletes from going to strip clubs? How many of them would go out of business tomorrow?
All of them. You can't believe, especially in the big cities, especially in like, you know, actually,
because really the average Joe who sits there with a beer on the rail with singles,
that kind of coin.
Singles, that's a loss leader.
That's
just
right.
To have the establishment open to let a couple of whales come in, some ballers
that's
to
right.
bring them to the back room and do the champagne thing.
Exactly. 100%. And by the way, there is I think it's still there. There's a big gentleman's club in D.C. that has like a 5-star steak restaurant in it. Just as an FYI, one day.
I had heard that D.C. has very weak,
awful
establishments.
Awful,
because they're not zoned for like the ones that had approval.
They wear pasties.
Yeah,
if they're naked, you can't get a lap dance. It's terrible.
But the steak is good. The steak tartare is to die for. Jesus Christ!
I know.
All right, I want to talk about the top cities to live in if you're an athlete. I gave you a quick list, and you tell me if I'm off. I had L.A., Atlanta, Miami. That's probably out of order. It's probably L.A. 1, Miami 2, and then Atlanta.
Atlanta's hot, dude.
Then maybe Dallas, then Phoenix, then maybe New York for a northern city where it's going to be wintry.
Yeah, I mean, those are really good. I don't really know if there's another location not on that list. I mean, maybe Denver. Denver's a really great
Denver's
area.
Pretty sweet.
And if they want a little bit of like chill, but also a fun city, like it's not bad. Denver's in that mix.
How about Nashville?
Nashville's really hot for white people.
not so much for black athletes.
I don't know. Nashville's a weird city. Nashville's gotten really, really hot lately. So maybe a little bit.
Orlando's good for families.
Orlando's good. And here's another reason why Orlando's good. Was talking to Ike Taylor about this. We were down in Orlando. Maybe it was this January. Maybe it was a year ago, January. I can't remember. But he travels a lot because of Disney. You can get a flight direct anywhere.
Yeah.
International, national, and it's an easy hub.
Yeah, the airport is silly in Orlando.
The airport's silly.
Huge. It's modern. It's easy. It never has weather delays. Occasionally.
Atlanta's become a real top market, Zabe. I mean, you nailed it. It's probably 2 or 3 with Miami and LA.
Yeah.
Because there's so much ancillary money and activity there for these guys. NBA, you know, TV turn.
Well,
they have their studios there. They're doing a lot of films there now. It's Hollywood South.
Well,
I mean,
in
really
a big black middle class and black entrepreneurship, and very culturally friendly as well for black athletes. So, yeah.
It's very similar to the demographic of D.C., except it's warmer. Southern and it's exactly
right.
That's right.
It's warmer. It's warmer. It's cheaper. And it doesn't have ugly politicians acting like fucking rock stars ruining the country. And that will end my political rant. For now, let's move on, shall we?
Well, you know, we were talking COVID and we're talking football and best cities for them to live. And I know you sort of alluded to it in the open about tiptoeing into hunting rabbit and playing football. I got to tell you, I talked to a very high-level athletic director this week and a producer at Films, we'll call it Films, and I think you can add the three-letter acronym in front of it, about some business that I do with them, and separately. These are separate conversations. And everyone is planning on playing football, okay? And I've talked to a defensive coordinator of a NFC team and a head coach of an AFC team in the last couple months, too. I mean, these are my friends that have matriculated through the system and have become, you know, heavy people in the league. And everyone's planning to play. This is my interpretation, because there's no planning required when you don't play. So they have to at least plan to play.
Yeah.
I think everyone's belief is it's at least 50-50 at best. It's 50-50 at best. And when I say at least, I mean like at best it's 50-50 that they're going to play.
Really?
That
they're going to shut it down, because I believe both are going to start.
If you're giving me a percentage, I'll say it's 70% that there's not a full season played. On college or pro.
Okay.
And that's an educated guess, but not like super tapped in. But I mean, I'm as juiced in as anyone. I'll just be honest. You're my boy. Like, I'm juiced in. It's then again, to your point about like when we were texting earlier, is everyone's aware of like brain damage is a real threat of playing football. Like, are you worried about COVID-19 worse than you are about brain damage or Alex Smith having dropped foot and, you know, not being able to walk, although that's a rare injury? It's a balancing act, but with college, you don't pay those guys. So how do you say we're not going back to school? And we can have an argument if that's the right idea or not. How do you not go back to school? How do we still make these guys play football, but we're not paying them? I mean, that's a real tough, especially in today's very, very tiptoe social world of like, are you getting over on these kids? I mean, that's what they have to do. That's what they're debating in dark circles.
Because here's what I think has to happen, and who knows who is going to have the stones to do it, but somebody has to step up and say, hey, listen, fellas, if we want to have nice things, we have to find the courage to play. And oh, by the way, we have nice things here in college football. Not just us coaches, not just the administrators, but, you know, hey, Reggie, do you like your paid scholarship? You like your room and board? Do you like the fact that your single mother who works two jobs doesn't have to come out of her pocket for a single thing?
Yeah.
You're the first one in your family to go to college. Do you, you know, if we sit out, Reggie, that's going away. You'll be probably out of college because you're not one of our starters, but you're still on scholarship.
Well, it's even worse than that.
Your chance to go
pro. They don't have a meal plan.
Right. Your chance to go pro will almost certainly be gone. And then you can go maybe work at the tire shop and then try a JUCO.
Or you can coach
when it's
high
all
school
said
football
and done
and make $32,000 a year in, you know, who knows where, Alabama.
And then that person has to have the stones to say, there's no pause. There's a new class of freshmen that are incoming and they're expecting to play and they're
difficult.
Expecting you guys to move on through the system. If we just try to pause until it's, quote, safe, it's a train wreck.
Yeah.
And these are truths. We have nice things with this college football life. All of us do. And if we don't play, we'll lose those things. We'll lose the time. We'll never get it back. And it's never going to be perfectly safe. So what do you want to do?
Yeah, exactly. The problem is I'm not sure that both in the NFL and in college that the players will actually have as much say as they should.
Well, I think the NFL's playing, Glenn. I think it's playing, and it's going to power through no matter what. They'll get guys who are sick, and they'll put them aside, and they'll keep on moving. Because what does the NFL make per year? Is it a $20 billion a year league?
Yeah, it's 14 or 15 direct, and then another five ancillary billion. Yeah.
So let's take that in half because of the no fans. Let's assume not a single fan all year.
Well, that's – so I don't actually think that's as detrimental as you think. If you look at the numbers,
All right. A third.
That's only like 5% of the team's revenue. Yeah.
5%?
But they're going to make it up. Do the math on the season tickets versus what they make on their, they're clearing, like, call it $200 million net cash per team and just in TV revenue.
Right.
The team. So they don't care about the $18 million they make on season tickets. You know, what is it? $150 bucks a ticket times 70.
Yeah, but what about the suites? 10. What about the suites?
Suites and parking certainly help. Okay. But they're divvying it up in a different way that the owners don't. The owners used to take all that extra shit. Okay. Now they have to divvy it out. I mean, I'm a huge nerd.
You know this shit. You're in the NFL. You deal with the NFL all the time. Here's the reason the NFL is going to play through is because they're all pros and they're making filthy money. And they're going to be like, you know what? We're not going to stop this. And I think that once a league starts, and I think this is what's happening with baseball, there is a compulsion to not stop.
Well, if baseball had stopped with the Marlins thing, then everyone's in trouble. The fact that they powered through is a positive thing if you're in the favor of sports.
I agree.
And I said that to a couple people. I said if baseball stops because of this Marlins thing, nothing else gets started. If they power through and they finish, it's a huge win.
Right.
A huge win.
It's a beacon to say you can power through. And what baseball and you know what baseball has done, and I give them credit for this, is they have said, all right, seven inning doubleheaders, who the fuck cares? Done. Oh, some teams might play seven fewer games. Who the fuck cares?
Whatever.
Done.
Yeah, we're playing.
Hey,
yeah.
Marlins, you have to replace 18 guys. Who the fuck cares? Done. By the way, the Marlins, the B team Marlins, minus 18 regulators. Bet the Orioles over and fucking spanked them 4-0.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's baseball for you. So I think the NFL is fine. I think the college scene is trickier, and we'll see how it goes. And all of this
is... So here's what I'll tell you.
Go ahead.
I want them to play.
Of course.
It affects my business.
Yeah, everybody, I mean, me too.
I know. Well, and I heard you talk about, like, who are these sports writers? Like, don't you know this is your livelihood? And, like, I understand. I'm glad that they feel comfortable enough saying what they feel, even though it's in direct contrast to their living. But I'll tell you flat out, like, if they don't have the Super Bowl this year, like, we've already missed out on a bunch of stuff. And there's some creative commercials that have come our way that we might do and stuff of that nature. But I will tell you that my little company of doing some business in the NFL and some ancillary stuff, producing some shows and some commercials and helping Ed and do these things, like, there's six figures that I'll probably lose in the next 8 months if they don't have a Super Bowl.
Oh. Not only that, and let's hope, Glenn, that won't happen.
And I don't mean lose, but I mean not make.
No. Lose. You had it right the first time.
It won't be there. Yeah, that is right.
It's lost, and it can never be made up.
That's right.
Because unless somebody invents a time machine for all of us to go back and reclaim 2020 at a later year, it's lost forever. That's one concept I think some people, Glenn, don't quite get. Like today, Dennis Dodd was on with me in the afternoon, and he talked about what colleges would have to do if there's no college football season. He said they'd have to basically go to a bank and get a loan. And I said, well, what about, he said, like 80% of the school's athletic budgets are football.
Yep.
And he said they would just have to go without that money. And I thought to myself, I didn't correct him, I thought to myself, what you meant to say is they would lose.
That's right.
Because the whole thing, well, I'll just go without it, but they'll go to the bank and they'll give me that money and then I'll pay them back over time. Yeah. You just lost hundreds of millions of dollars you'll never get back.
That
applies to the players. Accurate. That applies to the players in the NFL as well. I think there's plenty of football players who are smart who are like, I am not fucking losing $5 million. I won't. So we'll see about it.
All the sports, football players are the least able to weather that storm, as we know.
Oh, no doubt about it. What kills me, and we'll just end on this, because we're here for a good time, not a long time, and we've had a good run so far today. I love it. Everything from your new shitters and this garbage can you got to go buy and your overly sensitive wife about the COVID. It's been a good talk so far.
But she goes to work every day.
Right?
Excuse me?
No. So I was talking to somebody the other day about players that opt out for the NFL. And I say, look, that's their decision. But they play a brutal game that can harm them in so many ways, and yet they're afraid of weird things. And they said, I don't get it. And I said, hold on a second. I get my phone, and I dial up this clip, which I'm sure you've seen before, of Chiefs safety Eric Berry, who was terrified of the Denver Broncos mascot horse.
Oh, hell no. They go that horse. Oh, that horse. Huh? That horse. I'll wait till they got to the horse pad. I don't mess with horses, bro. Might come over here and throw a tantrum.
Stay inside the box. Stay inside the box.
Oh. Hold on. Coat that horse out there.
Horse. Yeah, hold on, Coach.
She need to go ahead with that horse now. I don't fool with no horses, boy. Hell no.
He's like terrified. By the way, it was, I'm looking at it now, it was the Chiefs had a horse, not the Broncos.
Yeah.
But he was backing off the field and went to go sit on the bench, even though he was 50 yards away from a fucking horse being ridden by a woman. That tells you, and I'm not ripping on Eric Berry, he can be an alpha badass and still have his own fears. We all have our own fears, right?
No, that's right. And it's just a lack of, you know, being around it to not understand. It's like this fictitious animal that doesn't, I mean, you know, when's he's ever seen a, you know, horse, been on the farm. So it's interesting. I think the players want to play, to your point about like this subconscious thing is, and LeBron touched on a little bit in the NBA, and obviously he's back down. And next time we talk, I want to get into where we're going to be with digital fans down the road, because I have interesting thoughts on that. But the idea that athletes for some reason are like, if there's no fans, we ain't playing. Like, if it's not safe for them to be there, why is it safe for us? And it's like, yo, it's not safe on that field for you if the fans are in the stands. COVID, it doesn't exist. It's still dangerous. So there's this disconnect in logic and understanding with all athletes about certain things that I don't know if they even have information to back it up. It's just their gut, and that you can't change their mind on it. It'll be interesting.
All of us have different and oftentimes wildly inaccurate concepts of risk, right?
Totally.
All of us do. I'm included. So anyway, great run, Glenn. Good to connect with you, buddy. Fingers crossed we will persevere, and good luck with that trash can and the new shitters. Keep us posted.
I appreciate it. I'll be following you on Twitter, on Instagram.
Thank you, buddy.
See you on Instagram.
There you go. You know what? I just realized there, more Glenn Eunice in the rotation here on the Zabecast, because he sounds like a goofball, and he is goofy, but motherfucker's smart, and he's a real hustler, and he's built himself a really nice business and has earned the trust of a Hall of Famer in Ed Reed to run his foundation, and he knows the NFL. So more Glenn would be a good thing, and because Glenn knows Jay very well, and because they're both up there in Baltimore and they both used to be at the station, I got to get both Glenn and Jay together, maybe in the Mobile Strike studio. And that would be pretty cool right there. Final thought for the day. Would you guys who are Redskin fans, now Washington football team fans, would you be upset with me if perhaps I just called the team the Washington Red Wolves right now? I know they're not officially changed. They may not become the Red Wolves. But if I like that name, if Fred Smoot has convinced me into it, would it be wrong of me to just go with that now? What's the harm, right? And if you call my show and instead want to call them the Washington Red Tails or whatever you want to call them, I'd know who you're talking about. I'd accept it. This could be a free-form year. You can call the artist formerly known as the Redskins whatever you want. And that will be your way of kind of voting for a name. Make sure to call every day and give us what you want to call them. I really can't call them the team all year, or just Washington, or the woofed Washington football team. And please don't send me an email. Hey, if you just change the T and the F like the Washington team of football, it's the what the fuck, the WTF. Shut up. I've had that email a trillion times. It's like the people that said, why don't you just put a potato on the helmet? Call them the Skins. Get it? Potato Skins. I get it. So anyway, just a thought. I think I'm going with Red Wolves right now. And if they end up being the Red Wolves, I'm a year early. It's like I put my my folding chair at the best spot on the parade route on 4th of July, and I just wait for the parade to roll on by. If I'm wrong, what's the harm? It was a temporary name anyway, so for 1 year I got to call them the Washington Red Wolves. That'll do it for me today. Thank you so much. Good to talk to Glenny. Appreciate you downloading. Please rate and review if you got 2 seconds. It's a pain in the ass, but it does tickle the algorithm. Helps continue to grow this podcast. This constitutes the end of the free ride for the week. Tomorrow is Friday, and that means Charch will join us. And yes, we will talk fantasy, because I believe football, the NFL is playing. That means you better get your fantasy ducks in a row. Charch will talk fantasy with us tomorrow on the subscriber edition of the Zabecast. I appreciate those who sign up and tell a couple friends if you think it's a quality product. Have yourself a great Thursday or any Thursday you want. I'm not running your life. And we will see you tomorrow. My CD and let me run around and put your car on cruise and lay back because it's summertime.